There's something that's very interesting about the beginning of Parshas Vayechi that Chazal point out. Generally speaking, when we begin a new Parsha, in terms of Kriyas HaTorah, if you were to open up a Sefer Torah and you were to look at the text, we know that a Sefer Torah isn't divided into psukim, but it is divided into paragraphs. And each paragraph we call a parsha. Sometimes the paragraphs are short, sometimes the paragraphs are much longer. But one of our parshiot HaShavua, every time we start a parshiot HaShavua, it begins with a new parsha in terms of a new paragraph. But Parshas Vayechi isn't that way. You open up a Sefer Torah, and instead of having a minimum space of 9 letters between the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayechi, it's the minimum space, there's a space of 1 letter. Just like it was the next word. And the question that Chazal ask, and later Mefarshim ask, is what's the message? Why is it that Parshat Vayechi does not have a new beginning after Vayigash? So before we get to what Chazal, the answer Chazal offer, at least one of their answers, I wanted to quote what I saw based on Sham Shemifal Hirsch. One would think that the beginning of Vayechi, in terms of Yaakov's personality, is a breath of fresh air. After suffering so long over the last 22 years, thinking that Yosef was no longer alive, and suffering earlier with all of his adversaries, whether it was with Esav, with Lavan, the story of Shechem, fighting the Sar Shal Esav, that Ish, that Vayavek Ishimo, one would think that finally, Vayechi Yaakov, finally he can rest, he can relax, that shalva that he had so much searched for was finally there. In the last 17 years of his life, he can spend with all of his sons and his grandsons and future generations. One would think that's like a new beginning. But our first is no, the Torah wants to point out to us that it's not something new that's unconnected. If Yaakov was able to achieve anything, that he was able to take these last 17 years and lead it in a sense of Vayechi, it's because of the 130 years that preceded it. It's all one story, it's all one lifetime. Yaakov achieved a great deal even when he was suffering, when he had to fight his adversaries. After all, that's how Yaakov became Yisrael, and we became Bnei Yisrael. Life wasn't easy. It wasn't easy when he was growing up. It wasn't even easy when he ran away from home. It wasn't easy returning to home. It wasn't easy after he came back. But that's how Yaakov became who he was. And therefore the Torah connects it. It's not a separate story. It's all part of Yaakov's lifetime. And if he achieved anything at the end, it's not despite what happened earlier, it's because of what happened earlier. And that, in a certain sense, is what Rav Hirsch suggests, why the Torah doesn't give us any extra separation. It's all one story, it's all one biography. And part two would never have happened if it wasn't for part one. Rashi, quoting Chazal, gives another explanation of why there is no break between Vayechi and Vayigash. Says Rashi, Lamer Parsha Zustuma, why is this a closed Parsha? Lefi shekevan sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, nistamu einayim velibam shel Yisrael mitzarat hashibud shehetchila leshabda. Because once Yaakov died, then the eyes and the hearts of Bnei Yisrael became closed because of the suffering of the slavery that began. That's kind of very Rashi. That's an additional explanation, but up until this point. Rashi is not so easy to understand. First, it seems like an issue of semantics. Why is there a closed parsha? Because the eyes and hearts of Bnei Yisrael became closed later on when they had the Shibud. And why does it appear here? Because when Yaakov died, that's when they began to suffer from the Shibud. Yaakov died, one second. Yaakov doesn't die at the beginning of Vayechi. Yaakov is alive at the beginning of Vayechi. He doesn't die till much later. And the Parsha is Stuma right here. So why is there Parsha Stuma here? It should be when Yaakov dies. And the slavery began when Yaakov dies. Slavery doesn't begin when Yaakov dies. Chazal tell us that the slavery didn't begin till after Yosef died, till after the last of the brothers died. It's many, many decades later, after Yaakov's death, that the slavery actually begins. So, why is there Parsha Stuma, and why is this like a nice play on words? It's a closed Parsha, because their eyes were closed and their hearts were closed. So, in order to explain this, I want to combine two things. Something I saw in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the Kli Yakar, that's at the end of Parshat Vayigash. If there is a closed Parsha, if there's no break between the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayichi, it means that somehow or another these things are connected. Vayichi follows Vayigash. What's the last pasuk in Parshat Vayigash? Torah says, "Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Goshen." Bnei Yisrael lived in Mitzrayim and Goshen. Vayeachazuba. They took possession of the land. They settled into the land. Vayifru Vayirbu Ma'od, and they multiplied. They were fruitful. Sounds fine. Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Goshen. Vayeachazuba. Vayifru Vayirbu Ma'od. Says the Kli Yakar, Kol pasuk ze ba'ashmat bnei Yisrael hu medaber. This whole pasuk, this last pasuk in Vayigash, is coming to lay blame on bnei Yisrael. What did we do? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu gazar aleihem ki ger yiyeh zaracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Bris Bein Absarv, you will be a stranger in a land. That's what he told Avram Avinu. You'll be a stranger. V'heima bikshu liyot toshavim b'makol. But they wanted to settle. They wanted to be residents. They wanted to be residents in the land. B'makom shenigzar aleihem geiros. No, you're supposed to be strangers. And instead, v'yeyachazuba. K'mosh yedoshu etzel Yaakov, v'yeshev Yaakov b'kesh leishe b'shalva kavtzu alav rogzor shal Yosef. Like Yaakov wanted something that wasn't appropriate, Ibn Israel wanted something that wasn't appropriate. Haposuk ma'ashimei mal yeshiva zo shebikshu achuza beretz lo lahem. They wanted to take possession. They wanted to settle in a land that wasn't meant to be for them. They had told Paro lagur baretz banu. We didn't come to settle here. We came here for a short period of time to be strangers. But life was good in Mitzrayim. It was fine. When there was a famine, Yosef provided them with whatever they needed. When the famine was over, food was plenty. Yaakov was there. All the sons were back together. The children, the grandchildren, they had protection. They had Yosef. So they're not in Canaan. So what's so terrible? Because Bog wanted us to be here. Let's make the best of it. And they did. They were happy where they settled. Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy. Says Moshe Feinstein, if you feel like a stranger in a foreign country, things turn bad, it's not fun. But no one feels like it was unexpected. That's part of life in Galus. You don't look forward to it. You hope it doesn't happen. But you're not really taken by surprise. But when you think you're living in Gan Eden, when you think everything is wonderful and fine and great, when you forget that you're in Galus, and all of a sudden the Shibud happens, Nistamu Einayim V'Libam Shal Yisrael. It's like they got punched in the stomach from nowhere. Like, what happened? We were getting along fine. This life was great here in Goshen. How could things so wonderful become so terrible overnight? And it's true. It's true, says Moshe, that the Shibud didn't happen immediately when Yaakov died. But all of a sudden they noticed this strange change. Yosef is the viceroy. He was the viceroy for 9 years before Yaakov came down, 17 years afterwards, 26 years. He's taking care of everything that Bnei Yisrael needs, that the whole country needs. He's indispensable. And the minute that Yaakov dies, all of a sudden he needs to beg for permission to go bury his father. All of a sudden he can't do whatever he wants. All of a sudden he's not quite yet Yosef the viceroy. Yosef has to ask people, to ask Paro, can you please go bury his father? And for Bnei Yisrael, who were very happy to live in Mitzrayim and weren't looking at it as a galus, this is what they call a sucker punch. It's like, whoa, where did this come from? And that's why this parsha is stuma. It's connected to the end of Vayigash. Bnei Yisrael made a terrible mistake. They thought that because life in Mitzrayim was good, no one have to think about it as galus. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't remember on your own, then I'm going to have to remind you. When the reminder comes, our breath is taken away. Presumably, Abiyaz Gold Tzedek, there will always be Jews who live in Galus. One of the jobs of Mashiach is to be Mekabetz Galuyos. And sometimes, one might consider it necessary. In some cases. But when we're living in Galus, especially when we're living in a good galus, in a comfortable galus, in a galus where everything seems to be very fine, we have to remember that despite all the good, we're still living in galus. Because if chas v'shalom, Bnei Yisrael forget that they're living in galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us. And the more we forget, the harsher the reminder is. There is a famous comment that the Meshech Chochma writes in his Perisham B'chukosai. Meshech Chochma was written in the early part of the 20th century. about the Jews who sometimes forget things. And they think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. This was written decades before Hitler, Yimach Shemo, came to power. There were Jews who were very happy. Berlin is Yerushalayim. And the reminder that it isn't was very, very harsh. We should all strive to be here in Eretz Yisrael. But even if we can't be, for whatever reason, and sometimes those reasons are legitimate, even if we need to be in Chutz La'aretz, we should always remember that we're in Chutz La'aretz, that we're in Galus. And as long as we remember that we're in Galus, Kadosh Baruch Hu won't have to remind us.